Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Woo! Pentecost Sunday. Do you guys know that? It is Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. Ever since I put Pentecost Sunday on my calendar a few weeks ago, I've been excited about today. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know that God is doing something, and the body of Christ is the direct target for what God wants to do. How many of you know that? Yeah. It's the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you, I believe that God is loading us, preparing us, equipping us to do things that the world has never seen before. How many believe that? How many say, yeah, praise God, man. Hallelujah. You know, it's time. Isn't that right? Isn't it time that the world see the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. Folks, we've been too hidden. Do you know what I'm saying? We've just been too hidden. There's not enough physical evidence of us out who we are in the world. And we've just been too hidden. But God is saying, now it's time. It's time. Do you know those guys that were in the upper... I'm already out of sequence. You know those guys that were in the upper room? They went outside. Remember? They were in the upper room. Got baptized in the Holy Ghost and went out in the street. And that's where all the other folks are. What is this? What's going on? These guys are drunk. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, I ain't drunk, man. I have been drinking. Is that right? They call it drinking at the well. Drinking at the wells of life. Amen. How many like drinking at the well? Come on, man. You know what? God likes you to drink at the well. Hallelujah. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, is what the Word of God says. Rivers. Not trickles. Not drips. Not a like mist. We had a little misting thing going on in my house. You're not talking about that kind of a... I mean, it's just a little mist. I'm going to give you a little mist of the kingdom of God here. How's this sound? You know, God loves you. Hey, man, He's talking about rivers of life coming towards those that are out there. Is that right? And the body of Christ, hallelujah, is the tool that He uses. Amen? We're here for a reason, folks. Hallelujah. Let's get with it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go. What was that? I can't remember what that... Some kind of a character, but anyway, I can't remember. I might as well not even go there. Praise the Lord. If you will, open your Bible to Luke chapter 24. Hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit. If you will, it's like a birthday to the earth. Amen? It's like a birthday. The Holy Spirit was sent on this day to empower men to dwell within them. Hallelujah. And it's some neat things what God is trying to do. Sometimes we don't realize that God really does have a plan. Is that right? Sometimes we just don't realize that. We think, I got my job, I got my house, I got my car, I got my, you know, and I got my kids. Amen. How many say, I don't even remember that. I got my kids, got baseball practice, softball practice, dance, right? I got all these things going on, and yet God's got a plan. Is that right? In all of that, God's got a plan. And so this is where we're at. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit. So if you will, Luke chapter 24. Hallelujah. This is right after the resurrection. And one of the things about, we've got to remember that everything in the kingdom of God, when God speaks into the church, or He speaks into you, He speaks by revelation. Do you know that? Do you realize that? That it is, Jesus told Peter, He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. What rock? The rock of revelation. He said, you didn't receive this. Let me step back. Jesus asked the apostles, He said, who do men say that I am? And they all kind of stayed quiet. And then Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, hey, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Simon Bar-Jonah, but my Father, which is in heaven, He revealed it to you. And then He says, and upon this rock, I will build my church. So the church is built not by how smart we are, but the church is built by revelation that comes directly from God. How many agree with that? That's what the Word of God teaches. That's what God says. It is. How many know that it is a personal relationship with God? Do you know that? How many know that's a one-on-one responsibility that you have to find out what God has for you personally? Don't ask pastor. Don't ask the other pastors. Hey, what does God have for me? We're going to tell you the same thing. We don't know. Why don't you ask him? Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. People for too long have been trying to get answers from men when God is saying, I am in your closet. I am in your house. I am with you constantly, for I will never leave you, forsake you. So what am I? Chopped liver? Ask me and I'll show you. That's what God's saying. Isn't that cool? Amen. That's who God is. He wants to talk to you personally. I'm going to let that sit for a while because, you know, sometimes you got to let stuff sit. Is that right? Sometimes you got to let it stew. God wants you in his in your closet, in his closet. He wants you there because he has things to say to you. He has direction. He has things for you. You might think that your life is going up and down for no reason at all. Well, I just don't know what's going on. Maybe, you know what, if you go in there, you'll find out some things. And we're going to talk about those things today. How many know that lives have ups and downs?
Yeah.
Yeah. So most of the time, it's the older folk. Is that right? Young people say, yeah, what are you talking about? My mom supplies everything. What are you talking about? Ups and downs? What's that? But as you get older, you figure out, hey, man, things go up, things go down, things go up, things go down, up and down, hey, up and down, roundabout we go. Is that right?
Right.
God has a reason for the ups and downs. Can I tell you that right now? I'm just going to speak that out to you. Know this, that God knows your ups and downs. He might have planned them for you. Is that all right? Is that okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Like I say, if I get a little excited up here, I've been excited about this message for whatever reason. I got no idea why, but I know that God is speaking some things to us. So get ready. Take some notes. If you get a chance to listen to the, what do you call that, Abe?
Podcast.
Podcast. Okay, because that's how high tech I am. Listen to your radio. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24, we're going to start. We will start at verse, I don't know. We'll start at verse 36. This is right after the resurrection. The apostles are still in this quandary of what's just happened. They've been told that Jesus has risen from the dead, and now he's coming to talk to them. And so, you see, even then, even after they had crucified him, the apostles were still having a struggle in their mind saying, what just happened? What is going on? What? We thought, but what's happened? So they're in this, you ever been like that? How many of you ever been like that? I've been like that a lot of times. Hallelujah. But so we're going to start. But verse 36 is, as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. See, they hadn't getting it. They're not getting it yet. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do the thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy. See, they still weren't sure. See that where it says not for joy? See, they're looking. They go, what is we don't get it. What they're still in this little, Pastor, we call it gray area. Is that right? We're still in the gray area. They're still, what? What's going on? And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy, and wondered, he said to them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Something to relax them. Why don't you guys just watch me eat? How's that? Is that a relaxing thought? I think they're still looking at him and saying, we don't get this, man. We watched you die on a cross. And Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me, that all things must be fulfilled. Verse 45 says this, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I like this. I like the part where it says, and then he opened their understanding. You understand? You get what's going on there? He spoke it to us in another term when he was talking to Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus, you know, Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. See, what Jesus was doing with the disciples here, they were becoming born again at this instant because they had not yet figured it out. They had not seen, but yet he spiritually unlocked the mysteries of the kingdom of God. See, that's what he does for us. By his spirit, he spiritually unlocks the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So you can walk in and say, whoa, that's cool, man. Okay, that's great. Isn't that right? That's what he does for us. He unlocks those things so we can see. And that's what he's doing with the disciples here. Now, all of a sudden, things are going to change. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
That's right.
You know that when God unlocks something to you, when he shows you something, isn't it a joy?
Yes.
Isn't it something you pick up? You go, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like this. God, and you go out and tell your friends and they go looking at you. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was talking to somebody the other day. That's the way it is with vision. Is that right? God gives you a vision. You run out and tell people about your vision, and they're looking at you. They go, cool. They got no idea. But see, we expect people to understand our vision. But see, we didn't know the vision until God gave us the vision. Then all of a sudden, we had a vision. We go to try to tell people, and they go, what? Are you crazy? That's the way vision works. But you walk in the vision. You continue to walk where God has placed you. What God has revealed to you, continue to walk in it. Is that right?
Amen.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a life unexpected to you. Can I say that to you? It is an unexpected life because the book is full of life.
Yes.
And God wants to pour into your body. He wants to pour into your spirit the life of the gospel of Christ. Isn't that cool? He wants to pour it in there. And so the more you look into the word, that's why he says, you know, that's why he tells you. He says, if you keep my words, my Father will come to you, and we will come and we'll sup, and we'll have a time of feeding. Is that right? God wants to feed you. He really does. Very, very, very important to us. Is that right? Ooh, hallelujah. So let's go. So here he's talking to, and he says this. I'm going to start verse 44 again. He says, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand what? Scriptures.
Scriptures.
What? Scriptures. Was he trying to get them to understand him? Yes, you're right, because he is the Word. Is that right? Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Hallelujah. So he said, I'm going to open your understanding so you can understand the Scriptures. So he opens their understanding, and he said, thus it is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, he says, and behold, I send what? A promise. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Everybody say power.
Power.
Power. How's the kingdom of God work?
Power.
Works in power. It really does. And this power is not a drag you along, push you along. It is not that kind of a power. It is a flowing power. Can I say that to you? It is a power that flows. It flows to you. And like we were talking this morning, it fills you up and it overflows you. And this power begins, you begin to walk in this power that God has given you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
God wants you to be powerful in the earth. Is that right?
Yeah.
By his spirit. Not you. You died on the cross. What was it, 2,000, how many years? You died a long time ago. You just don't know it yet. Some of you don't even know it yet. But yes, it's true. The Word of God says that you were placed on the cross with him. When he died for your sins, he took your sins. You died, you went to the cross, you were buried, And then you've been resurrected with him in new life because you believe in who he is. And now that new life is coming towards you, and it's coming to you via the Holy Spirit.
Right.
How God is teaching you and bringing an understanding, opening the scriptures to you so that you'll understand what he's saying to you personally. Hallelujah. This is to each and every one of you. It's just not to your wife. Quit bumping your wife saying, hey, make sure you listen to this. Quit bumping your husband. Say, are you awake? Listen to him. No, it's for every one of us. Every one of us needs to hear these words because God is doing something that's really incredible. Hallelujah. Born again. Hallelujah. John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, what? Receive the Holy Ghost. I want to say that to every one of you today, this morning. Some of you might have received the Holy Spirit. Some of you might not. Some of you say, man, I'm still deliberating in the mind. I'm not sure if I want the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. Because there's some folks, can I tell you, there's some folks that have been taught that the Holy Spirit is not doing what he did with these apostles back then. There's some folks that say, well, yeah, those things they're not anymore. But the fact of the matter is, the only thing that moves the church and drives the church today is the Holy Spirit. He's the only thing. I wouldn't want to do it without him. Is that right? Hallelujah. You gotta understand where the power is coming from. Is that right? And it's not us. Amen? Jesus once again said this, without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
What can you do?
Nothing.
Without Jesus, what can you do?
Nothing.
What can you do without Jesus?
Nothing.
Nothing. Is that right? Can't do nothing. Like, you can't even cook an egg without him. You say, oh, yes, I can. Oh, no, you can't. It's crazy. Hallelujah. So he tells her, hey, I want you to go to Jerusalem. And he says, and he tells them before that, he says, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive it. Receive him. Receive the promise of the Father. Do you know that everything to us is dependent upon our receiving? Do you know that? Do you understand it? Can I tell you once again that God is at rest? God has done it all. He's already done it all. You might say, God, I need you to get me a new car. He's going to tell you, you forgot. I'm resting. I don't do nothing now. I've already done it all. You have to receive these things, what I've done for you, man. Receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Receive him. Say, I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Into my heart. To do what you want to do. Can I tell you, because the Holy Spirit will never hurt you.
Amen.
He will not hurt you. Oh, you might go through some ups and downs. How many of you like going through ups and downs? Anybody got a, I like it, man. I know. Yeah, as when you get older, but you're going to find out that those downs are the times that he really speaks to you. He really ministers to you. It's in the downtime. The uptimes, anybody can live in the uptimes, is that right? But how do you live in the downtime? Woo, come on. And the Holy Spirit is here to design the downtime to strengthen us. Isn't that cool?
Right.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. So he says this, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive him. Woo. I like it. How many like that? I like it. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I want you to look at this again. He says this, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Can I tell you, it's important that you wait. There's a lot of churches nowadays that send people out, people that are not equipped to do what God has called them to do because they had. But simple fact is, they never waited long enough to allow God to empower them. Is that right? Is that okay? That's the mistake that we're making these days, that we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to be who he is supposed to be in the church. We are to be under one head. Is that right?
Amen.
His name is Christ, and he sent his Spirit, the promise of the Father, into the church to lead, to guide. And we think, some churches think, that they can do it without the Holy Ghost. And I will tell you, God spoke it to us in a sermon one time. You guys remember? No oil, no fire. And being that there's no oil, no fire, there will be no light. Oh, you can go out and you can say things, you can do things like that, but it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a heart. It really does. It's cool, man. Glory to God. So he says, you know, hey, wait until you be endued with power. Just wait. Just wait. How many have a hard time waiting? Anybody have a hard time waiting? Yeah, come on. I see them. How many are, I got to get it done now. Let's do it now. Hallelujah. Forget about God. Let's just do it now. No, man. It don't work. How many of you figured it out? It don't work that way anymore. How many of you have lived long enough, gone through enough things, you say, man, you know what? It just don't work when I step out in front of God. Peter never stepped out of the boat. Know this. Jesus was walking on the water. Peter said, Lord, call me to you. Very, very smart. It wasn't just, I'm going out there. You know, he said, no, man. He said, Lord, call me to you. Peter waited till he said, come. He walked on the water, and then he began to see the things around, began to look around and see things. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit is here to interpret what is going on around you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
If Peter would have kept his eyes focused on Jesus, what was going on around him wouldn't have let him sink. But see, we have a tendency to look at things going on around us and allow those things to sink our heart.
Yes.
Is that right? And God's saying, hey, not anymore. You watch. I sent the Holy Spirit into your life to do something for you. Woo!
Yeah.
Come on, man. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Oh. So we're getting close to the Pentecost. I mean, when you're in Acts chapter 1, you're getting close to the Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 is, man, when it finally comes. But in Acts chapter 1, it says, being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus was with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but do what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? See, this is after the resurrection. This is where they're saying, is it time now? Are you going to restore the kingdom now? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in othermost parts of the earth. Jesus is telling them, hey, wait for the promise, because you will be witnesses for me, but you got to wait for the promise. How many know we're not in Jerusalem right now? Does anybody know that? Does this look like Jerusalem to you?
No.
Because I only had three people raise their hands. There are four. There you go. There's four. Four people said, this is not Jerusalem. Can I tell you that Jerusalem is a holy city? Can I say that to you?
Yeah. Right.
But the natural Jerusalem is not really the one that God is talking about. The Jerusalem that God is talking about is the heavenly Jerusalem. Can I tell you, you can be in the heavenly Jerusalem even right now. You can go to your closet and step into the heavenly Jerusalem. David said it this way. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. I was glad. And then he says, in that house there are thrones. My feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem, is what David was saying. And can I tell you that? When you go in the prayer closet, when you're in the presence of God, when you're sensing God's presence, you are in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Think about that now. Think about it. You are in a spiritual city. That's who you are. That's where you belong. It's your city.
That's right. That's mine.
Oh, I like Sawarita. It's okay. It's cool. It's all right. I used to say Bisbee was the... You like anybody like go like Bisbee? Bisbee was the vacation resort of the world. I like these cities. But oh, there's no city to be compared like the heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
And one of these days, we're going to see it descending out of heaven. And we're going to hear, we're going to say, hey, God's place is now. Come on, can I tell you this? That you can be in Jerusalem right now.
Amen.
How many of you sense in Jerusalem right now in this message? Ooh, I sense it. Hallelujah. Oh, man. But he says to wait for the promise. Wait for that promise. He mentioned John the Baptist. I want to go to John the Baptist a little bit. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. I hope you're taking these down because they're good things to kind of go over. In those days that came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for what is at hand? John the Baptist was even saying, this kingdom is at hand. It really is. And he says, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken. The narrative is going to talking about John the Baptist. This is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make straight his paths. And I'm going to go to Malachi. Just talk about what Malachi says about the one that would prepare the way for the Lord. The prepare the one, the way for the king. All right? It says, but who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. I'm sorry, can you start from verse 1? Can you do that? Start from verse 1, we'll go again. We're going to read this again because what we're talking about, John the Baptist had come to be the forerunner of Jesus to clear the path, if you will. And he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And here's verse 1 where he says, behold, I send my messenger, talking about John the Baptist. And he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek. How many seek the Lord?
Yeah.
Anybody here seek the Lord? I don't want you to just pay close attention to this word right here. Shall suddenly come into his temple. Can you see that? Shall suddenly come into his temple. Everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
What's he going to do?
Come into the temple.
Suddenly he's going to come into the temple. Okay? He says, shall suddenly come into the temple. He says, even the messenger of the covenant. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is the messenger of the covenant.
Yeah. Amen.
Whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day? Now here he goes. Who may abide the day of his coming? Sound like Big Porky Pig, didn't I? Sorry, man. My wife really gets a kick out of that. She goes, kick me in the chest and get me going again. Hallelujah. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? He is like a refiner's fire. Can I tell you what he's describing? He is describing the Holy Spirit. He's like a refiner's fire. How many like that fire? Not once again, we don't like it, do we? But he brings us to the fire. The Holy Spirit does. You're going to see that. And he's like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify not only the sons, he will purify. Can I tell you, he's going to purify the church. Not only the sons of Levi, but he's going to purify the church and purge them. How many like purging? How many of you actually purge? I'm just kidding, man. Don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in what? See, the Holy Spirit does all of this for us. We've got to understand that this is his job. This is his job description. He's here to purify us. He's here to take us through. Is that okay?
Amen.
Are you guys okay with that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. I love it. At first, when I first did it, God, why am I going through this stuff? I don't get it. But we'll go back to Matthew. Matthew 3, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Now, I want you to say, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with what? Right away, John the Baptist is letting you know something. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Who's he talking to? Anybody that believes. This thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all God's children. No matter what people try to tell you, no matter what they say, it's not for today, I don't care. You're wrong, bro. The Bible says it is. Our power verse today, it is for... somebody read that power verse to me. It's on your bulletin. What does it say? It's on the front of your bulletin in the orange.
For the promises unto you.
And to your children.
And to all.
to all children? Is that even as many as the who shall call?
God.
How many of you are called in here? How many don't know if you're called? Every one of us are called by the Lord. There's people out there that don't even know him. He died for them. The Bible says that God so loved the world. How many say the world?
The world.
He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So there's people out there that don't know it, but he died for them. And he gave his life for them. And they are to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Those are his promise that Jesus said, I send the promise upon you. It's pretty cool. So he says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Then he says this, and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat in the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I brought this from the house because I couldn't find anything. I couldn't run out into my wheat field to bring a piece of some wheat. So I had to bring this. This is you, okay? That's why I got a Y. You guys see the Y?
Yeah.
This is you. And according to John the Baptist, this is what he does. I mean, when they're threshing wheat, what they would do in the old days, they would toss it up in the air. And it would hit, and it would break the little pieces of chaff on the wheat. And they'd throw it up again. And it'd fall and it'd hit. And then sometimes they'd even throw it down hard. How many have ever been hit hard? Anybody gotten hit hard?
Yeah.
And you see what it's doing is breaking off the things that are contrary to God. That's what he's teaching here. He said the chaff, the stuff that is not useful for you, he breaks it off. And then I heard you say just a minute ago that he takes his fan and he blows that fan away. Blows that chaff away. Is that right? They would blow it off the floor. The chaff would leave, and it would leave the wheat, and they could gather up the wheat, and they can take it and grind it, whatever they want to do with it. Get rid of the bad stuff and leave the good stuff. Is that right? And see, and this is your life. He throws you up, and he slams you down. Isn't that good? Oh, God, thank you for that. He throws you up, and he slams you down. Just when you're doing good, he slams you down again. But see, you see, it is a process. It is something that God is doing for you. He is bringing you to, so that you understand his ways, so that you understand that he is strengthening you, that he does this, and he uses the Holy Spirit to get rid of that stuff because he's called to bring a fire into your life and burn out the chaff. That's cool, man. It's cool. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And he brings a clarity in your life. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, man. Some things we go through really hurt. Is that right? Man, we hit hard. And we don't think we're going to get up again. Mm. We think it's impossible to rise from this position that I'm in now. God, I cannot believe that you love me. Yeah, you do. I do love you. What you're going through will pass. Oh, man. I'm getting out of my... I need you to go to Isaiah 30. I didn't have this for my... I don't have Isaiah 30 on there, do I? No. I need Isaiah 30, and I'm not even sure what verse he's talking about. Let me look. Oh, yeah, I do. Isaiah 30, start verse 20 and 21, 22. Oh, boy. I was having too much fun at the picnic. God's going to change my message. Yeah, oh, boy. Isaiah 30, verses 20, starting at verse 20, says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, I want you to look at that. Look at bread of adversity. See, sometimes he just throws you, sometimes it just happens. Sometimes life kicks you in the teeth. Is that right? Sometimes it happens. Look what the scriptures are saying. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of what? Affliction. How many ever been afflicted? Anybody never been afflicted? Sometimes even a word that somebody says to you sideways, you know what I mean by sideways? Just didn't feel good. There's an affliction that comes with it. So the next 3 weeks, you're thinking about that stinking little word that they said to you. And God says there's a reason why these things are happening. He says, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore. Do you see that? God is trying to teach you. But that teacher is not somebody who's going to be obscure and out of the way. He's saying this, your teachers will not be in that corner, but your eyes will see your teacher. Can I tell you, when you're on the ground down there, that's your best teacher right there. When you're low, when you're down in those positions, God, that's where he says, I will teach you. Let me show you something. We'd taken a youth group to Bisbee, and I've told you this before, but when we were down in Bisbee, we had a great time in the service. We had an outdoor service in Gore Park. It was a little park that's in Brewery Gulch, right? In the Gulch. And my wife's stomping grounds. and we had very good service. And the Lord had given me a scripture about God's going to remove the candlestick. And the pastor of the church was just helping me and just having such a loving heart towards us, that he helped us and cooked hamburgers for us and took food to us. And it was kind of strange because I said, well, there must not be very many people in this church, because there was only a handful of folks, huh, Rose? Just maybe 6 or 8 people that were actually helping him. He's running hamburgers up and down and from his church over to where we're at. And so I loved the pastor. I said, man, you're a good man. Yeah, praise God. I'm glad we came down here. So he gave me this message on how God was going to remove the candlestick. And so Sunday morning, I'm supposed to do the sermon. And Sunday morning, damn, that church was full. Bunch of folks. I go, man, where'd all these folks come from? These all your big, I said, man, where were they yesterday? You know what I mean? No, you don't know what I mean. Okay, well, anyway. I said, where were they, man? You know, and it really didn't pay too much attention. So we did, we worshiped and everything, got up there, and I got up to speak. And I'm thinking, just as a general message about God's going to remove the candlestick out of the church if it didn't snap up, you know, or respond to what God was saying to it. And I'm preaching, and all of a sudden the Lord says to me, this church is my target. I am speaking to this church. If they will not repent, I will remove the candlestick. And the candlestick at the time, when I knew who it was that pastor that was working so hard for me. Wow. And now all of a sudden, I'm thinking, I can't say that to this man. I can't say that. God, I can't do that. So I called one of the young ladies that was in my youth group and said, get up here. I need you to sing a song. You know? So she starts singing a song. I go to the back of the church, and I'm back there saying, God, I can't say that to him. He's been so loving towards us. How could I say that? That if he don't repent, God, I can't say it. I was okay but then I said, Lord, I will not say that. And when I said that, what happened was, you know, it takes an anointing. Can I tell you, folks, when you're speaking, it takes an anointing to speak. Is that right, Pastor John? And Eli, is that right? It takes an anointing. Is that right, Eli? Sometimes the anointing comes on you just in the morning. Is that right? Right? 2 minutes before you go to preach. Is that right? Come on, man. It takes an anointing. And when I said, I won't say that, I felt every, it's like I watched it roll out of my body and roll out on the floor. I'm going, God. Then right then, I noticed she was finishing with a song. I said, uh-oh. Hey, folks, I could tell. I said no to God. What? So then she finishes, and I go up there, and I tell the pastor, I go, Pastor, you're going to have to finish this message. And he looks at me and goes, what? I gave him the mic. I told the kids, I said, hey, man, as soon as the service is over, come outside. We're going to leave. I went in the back. We had a trailer that we had. And I connected the trailer to our van. I was out there crying. I said, God, I'm sorry. I didn't want to say that to him. So I got it hooked up. Here comes the pastor coming out. He goes, Henry. He goes, What did God tell you? That's what he told me. And I looked at him and said, bro, I can't do it. He said, no, I need to know. What did he tell you? His wife's name was Jody. And I said, bro, the Lord told me that if your church doesn't repent, he's going to remove the candlestick, and that's you. He's going to take you out of here. And he goes, Jody! He started yelling for his wife. And he looked at her, what's going on? He calls her out. He goes, bring me that list. So he brings a list out, and he shows me, read, I don't remember what number, but like, read number six. Number six, there was what he had an evangelist come to his church, and the evangelist walked around Bisbee for a while, and he wrote down some things on a piece of paper about how he felt God was talking about this city. And in number six, it said, if this church does not repent, I will remove the candlestick. You would think, praise God. Isn't that right? You would think, praise God. It made me feel that big. I mean, I go, what? He said, yeah, Pastor, he said, Henry, you should have said it. You should have said it. This church needs to hear that. And I go, oh, my God. So now it goes from, God, I love this guy. Now it goes, God, I failed you. I failed you. Can I tell you that God knows exactly when you're going to fail? He knew it. He knew it, and he knows it.
Wow.
So we loaded up, the kids came back. I talked to one of the youth leaders that was with me, and he said, hey, don't worry about it. I mean, but I couldn't get any relief. I talked to my pastor about it. I said, hey, man. He goes, yeah, let me pray for you, man. It's okay, you know. And I could, it was one of those things at the bottom of the, it was at the bottom. I was at the bottom, and there was nobody that could pick me up. Wow. Monday morning when I came to, I had to go to work. I told Rosie, I'm not going. I can't work. I literally was busted. I mean, it really ripped something from, and I told her, I can't work. She goes, well, okay. So she went to work. I stayed in bed crying, God, I failed you. I failed you, God. I failed you. That's all I could say. But as good as he is, the Holy Spirit said, read 1 Corinthians 13. How many of you guys know that's a love chapter? The word of God says, in that chapter it says, love never fails. And when I read that, oh, a warmth came into me. Can I say the Holy Spirit is so good? A warmth came into my heart, and I said, man, God, I feel like I failed you. And he says, no, Henry, love never fails. You love that pastor. That's why you would not say those, because your love for that pastor. He goes, and I saw that. And he says, but look, I want to show you something. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man comes, he says, I will come in and I will sup with him. And then he says this, whom I love, I rebuke and I chasten. That's what the word of God says in Revelation, where he says that, behold, I tell. And when I read that, I realized that God was doing something for me. Because before that point, I would not say everything God was telling me. The church I was at, I was told not to say some of the things that God was telling me. And I needed to have a lesson that would teach me to speak only what God had said. And that lowest part in my life, because it was the lowest part that I have ever been. This part right here was the lowest part I've ever been. But when I come out of it, I said, Lord, I will speak for you. Ooh, yeah. I will be a mouthpiece for the kingdom of God. And so can I tell you that the Holy Spirit brings us to these points where it feels like he slammed you down, but there's something good that he wants to bring out of that. Is that all right? Praise God. So let's just keep going. I know I'm taking a little bit of time, but hallelujah. So can I tell you that you need this. Did you put that up, brother? Oh, you need this. I want everybody to look at your neighbor and say, oh, you need this. I mean, look at it and look to the one on the other side and say, especially you.
Especially you.
You need this more than I do. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 39. And this is a long reading, and I understand, but I think it's so important that we read this, because God is The Holy Spirit is so important to us as the body of Christ. It's so vital to us. And we have to be listening, not to what men say, but what God is saying to us by His Holy Spirit. So it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. How many like the day of Pentecost? You know, the day of Pentecost is about, it's called the Shabbat, right? Shabbat. It's called, there's got some other names. It's called the Feast of Weeks. There's another one that's called the Feast of the Latter Fruits. These are some of the names. And then the one I like, which is the Feast of Harvest, is the one I put on. But it's Shabbat. It's the Feast of Harvest. And the reason I like the Feast of Harvest, because I believe the Holy Spirit is here so that there can be a harvest like there's never been before, because the Holy Spirit is directing the harvest, bringing the harvest. And so that is just, that's my preference. You might like the weeks. You might like that. I was telling somebody this morning that, I was telling the group this morning that the weeks, you know, there's seven, it's 7 weeks. How many know, after Passover, when Jesus died, it's 7 weeks, 50 days actually, to today, to the day of Pentecost. Jesus never told them to wait for Pentecost. He didn't say that. He just said, wait in the city until you be endued with power. But it was the Feast of Pentecost when he came. Isn't that cool? When the Holy Spirit was given to the earth. That's cool. I like going down to, I like some of our crosswalks, and when I'm walking and I'm praying, I like some of our crosswalks, because this is what they tell you when they push the button. Does it, you know what it says? Wait. Huh? Push it again, wait. Push it again, wait. Push it again, wait. Rosie says, leave it alone. I said, I like what it says. Wait. Because folks, it's so important that we wait. It's so important to us that we wait. And here we go. So please try to stay, keep up, okay? All right, listen to the story. Listen very closely. It says, day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. What did I tell you about that word that in Malachi it said, what? Suddenly, the Lord shall enter where? Into his temple. Can I tell you, it's not a temple made with hands. It is a temple of the Holy Ghost. It is your body. It is the temple. Suddenly, these men were waiting, and suddenly, hallelujah, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say filled.
Filled
with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as a spirit gave them utterance. Who gave them utterance?
The Spirit.
Not their doctrinal teachers, right? Not their teachers from the, from, well, they're, never mind. From all their learning, not their Pharisees, not their, I mean, it was as utterance given by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? As the Holy Spirit. Utterance was, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Is that right? Everybody call you crazy? Anybody ever call you crazy because of stuff like this? Hey, walk through Safeway speaking in tongues. Just go ahead and let it rip. Yeah, come on, man. People look at you, man. People be pushing their cart away from you. Even though they got to get to the lettuce, they're going, whoa, I'm going in the other aisle. Because, hey, They're going to think you're crazy. That's okay. Praise God, huh? It says, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. How many say amen?
Amen.
Some flesh? No, he says all. All. He's going to pour out of his spirit. Can I tell you that that pouring comes through you? Can I say that to you? It's important that we understand that God is filling us so that it can be a flow coming out of us. It's so important. It says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Anybody dreaming dreams today?
Yes.
Yeah? Does that mean you're old? Anybody seeing visions? Oh, I got to tell you about the vision. I'm going to tell you about the vision because I think it's important that we speak the vision every once in a while about what the vision of this church is. But young men shall see visions. I've got me a vision. Yeah, I see visions. So you can call me young. Yeah, after church, just say, hey, young man, you can call me that. I'll appreciate it. Shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. Can I say this to you? Women, men, kids, it don't matter. God says, I'll use them. I will, if they will listen to me, I will speak through them. Isn't that cool? That's cool. That's why it's important we teach our children. That's why it's important we speak to them. That's why it's important we help them to understand that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Come on, man. So it says, and the sun shall be turned into, I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, everybody say whosoever? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter is speaking, he says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered to the determinate counsel, by the determinate counsel of who?
Knowledge.
Foreknowledge of who?
God.
Of God. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Doesn't the word of God teach us that if they had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Is that right? But here he's reminding them of that. He says, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, I was also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. Amen? His sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, wherewith we are all witnesses, therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, here he's explaining, the promise of the Holy Ghost has shed forth this which you now see and hear. I love what Peter is saying to him. What you're looking at are not a bunch of drunks. You are looking at a promise of God that he gave to David, and he's given to men that he would shed forth his spirit to dwell in man. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I get excited about this.
Yeah.
Woo, man. And he says, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I what? Make your foes your footstool. Folks, he's using us to do that. That's our job with the Holy Ghost. We make his foes his footstool. That's cool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. He tells them right off, and then he says, For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord shall call. Everybody say, this promise is to me. It really is to you. Can I say that? Whether I'm not sure. I don't want to take hands to see how many of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't want to do that. But I believe that every person that believes that Jesus Christ is Lord should be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you that gift is already, if you believe that Jesus died for you, the gift is already resident in you. The gift is there because it's all been given. It just needs to be released. And so when you go home today, I know this has been long. I know it has. But I think it's very important that the church knows that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for them. Anybody that believes, anybody that will say yes to Jesus, anybody. Can I tell you, he is your connection. Can I tell you how much you need this? I won't tell you. I'm going to let the Word of God tell you. Is that okay? I got a couple more scriptures. Are you guys okay? Anybody asleep? If you look to your neighbor and say, are you asleep? Did he put you to sleep? Say, raise your hand if you're asleep. Yeah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Just a couple more scriptures. I like the word Shabbat. I got to tell you, I like the word Shabbat. It's, to me, it's more like Shavuot. It's time to go, man. Shavuot. Let's go, man. Let's get this happening. Amen. Hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I just want you to make sure you do this. Make sure you personalize this. Make sure you realize this is for you. Make sure it says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of Ed the things that God has prepared for you. Is that cool? Has entered into Freddie's heart. Happy birthday, Freddie. Yeah. Happy birthday. That has entered into Steve's heart. That has entered into your heart. Every one of us. God has prepared things for you. Yeah, Arlene's heart. And he says this, but God has revealed them to us by what? Can I tell you, it's the Holy Spirit in your life that reveals the Word of God to you. He reveals the things that He's placed in you. He reveals them. Nobody else can do it for you. You can come to me every day of the week and say, Pastor Henry, can you please help reveal this thing? I said, man, you know what? You need to go to your closet. You need to find Jesus. I will always push people to Jesus. I will never say, oh, no, you got to come talk to me. Now, you know, I love talking to you. I will talk to you. I'll talk with you. But at the end of the conversation, I'm going to tell you, you need to go into your closet. You need to see Jesus. You need to talk with him. He is the one that will answer your questions. Yeah, right. He's the only one that can open it. Is that right? The Bible says Jesus, it talks about where Jesus, and it says the Lamb who shall release the seals of the book. You remember that in Revelation? And nobody, it was quiet in heaven. And John the Revelator started crying, and then the angel was standing with him and said, hey, don't cry. Look, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, he has prevailed to open the seals there. See, the only one that can show you things out of Scripture is the Lord. He's the only one, the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you how much the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit and when he's in your life, everything else falls apart. Can I tell you the children of Israel used to worship? Do you remember the snake that Moses put on? It was a brass snake that he put on. They used to worship. They began to worship that. It's a trinket. Folks, we are not here to worship trinkets. We're not here by luck. How many are lucky? Anybody Anybody here lucky?
Blessed.
Hi, Lucky. We are not here by luck. The Holy Spirit has a very, very distinct, direct plan for our life.
Right.
There's nothing by chance. There's no. I mean, I used to wear a St. Christopher. You guys remember those? Does anybody know St. Christopher's? Yeah. You guys know that they expelled him? You guys don't know that, huh? You guys didn't know that St. Christopher, I don't know what happened, but they said no more St. Christopher's in the Catholic Church. I don't know what happened. I don't know what he did. He's dead. But anyway, I mean, yeah, check it out. I used to have a St. Christopher, and you know, I pull it out, and a lot of you have seen him. You kiss it and then stick it back in and go do something. God's not into trinkets. He's not. The little thing you have in your dashboard flopping around, that cross ain't going to protect you. It is the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Right.
Come on, man.
Yeah, right.
God's not a trinket God. He is not. He is a personal God, and he wants to invade your life with his Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing. Come on, man. So those of you who have little King Christophers, little stones, or whatever those things are, put them aside, man. Get rid of them. And allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that he wants to do. You watch what happens. You'll see it. But as written, it says, but he says, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. What things? The things that he has for you. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? And then he says this, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, listen to this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of who?
God.
It's God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. That you might know what? The things that are freely given to you of God. Those things that God has for you, he wants you to know them, but you have to access them by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You can't go any other way. You will not succeed going any other way. You've got to go via the Holy Spirit. You need to ask him into your life. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, you need to say, Lord, come into my heart. And after that, you want you to say, Lord, will you baptize me in the Holy Ghost? Will you baptize? Because it is essential for today. It really is. One last scripture. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. I love this one because this is the word of God that came. I mean, this, well, just look at it. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen? How many of you ever groan so hard that, I mean, you can't even say anything? All you can do is, I mean, have you ever prayed that way? I mean, I'll tell you what, that is a function of the Holy Ghost. It really is. And it's working. It's doing things that you could never do. It really is. And it says, and he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. What? According to what? Who makes intercession for the saints?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit makes the intercession. Can I tell you, I remember telling this body here, I remember standing here on this platform saying, I never prayed for this job. I didn't ask to be a senior pastor. Never asked for it. Yet, God spoke to me. He says, I can't, you are a pastor, you are not a minor, and I cannot bless what you're pretending to be. And on the way home that day, the Lord said this to me. He says, oh, you prayed for it. You just didn't know. It was via the Holy Ghost. It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that brought this thing, birthed this thing in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you that?
Amen.
So can I tell you, that's how important it is for you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And to be praying according to the will of God. Because when you pray, it sounds foolish. The Bible says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Can I tell you how foolish it feels when you're praying in tongues? Is that right? How many of you remember when you first started praying in tongues, you say, this can't be it. This can't be it. It just feels kind of weird. Is that right? It feels like gibberish. Is that right? It feels weird. Isn't that right, Terry? Woo, come on. It don't feel. But see, we don't live by feeling. We live by faith. We go by faith. And when the Bible says, you know, out of your mouth shall flow rivers of living waters, that can be not only preaching, but also the prayers that God is saying on your behalf or the behalf of the church. There was a lady that said something to us the other day. She said, I got up in the middle of the night. How many ladies get up in the middle of the night praying in the Spirit? Praying the Holy Ghost. Can I just ask you, continue to do that? Please do that, because we need that more and more and more and more. We need that more. As we step into what God has for us, we need people that will get up in the middle of the night and pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But there was a lady that said to us, she said, I got up the other day, and she was asking us, hey, does anybody here have something that have a problem on Monday, was it? On Monday, is it Monday? Everybody's looking, no? Why? She goes, because I had this urgency. I had to get up and pray in the Spirit. And I prayed in the Spirit, and then that urgency went away, and I went back to sleep. Sometimes the prayers that you're saying, you might not even realize what's happening. You might have averted somebody from an accident or whatever, and not ever even know. Your child or will never even know that something came very close, but a praying mom or a praying dad stopped it because they prayed in the Spirit. They didn't know what was going on, but yet they poured out. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and every one of us need it. The body of Christ in today's world needs this, and this alone. This is what will bring the unity of the body of Christ together, because everyone is walking in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that cool? If you will, let's stand so we can pray. Hallelujah. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you that. I'm going to say this to you. Because I believe that one-on-one with God is the most important thing for you. I believe, and I've been in services where they brought everybody to the front and they prayed for them. Some folks began to speak in tongues. I've been in services like that. I've been in services when everybody comes up and nobody speaks in tongues. I've been in services like that before. And sometimes they're long and drawn out. But what I want to do, I want to say, if you've never spoken in tongues, and you don't have to tell me. If you've never spoken in tongues, the gift is for you. Go home and talk to the Lord. Go into your own closet or into your bedroom, close the door and say, hey, God, I want to speak in tongues. I feel like I need to speak in tongues. And allow him to fill you. You watch what happens, okay? I'm not going to bring you up here today and say, hey, man, let's lay hands on you. I'm going to say, you know what? You go to God. You ask him for this gift because it is to you and to as many as the Lord shall call. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Father, for what you've given to the church. The Holy Spirit, Lord. The fire that comes from heaven. Father, the fire that will clean and purge each and every vessel, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. So God, I ask you, Father God, that you would, by your Spirit, Lord, touch the hearts of each and every person here this morning. Allow them, those that have never been filled with your Spirit, Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Those that have never spoken, Lord, the heavenly language, Father God, cause them, Father God, to speak, hallelujah, in a tongue, hallelujah. Cause them to intercede, Father God. Woo, we need it, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. We give you praise, God, for what you're doing, Lord. Lord, those that haven't spoken for a while, I'm asking you to rekindle that, Father God. Bring it forth, Father. Let it flow, Father God. As they open their mouths, Lord, let it flow. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. Father God, touch your people. Touch your people, Lord. Use them, Father God, for your kingdom, Lord. The unknown and the unseen, Father God. Let them see those things that you have for them, Father. Let them know, Father God, how that is you. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, God. Woo, hallelujah. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive that promise of the Father into your life, that you might be purged of all things, that you might be as gold. Receive the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name I pray this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, hug somebody as you leave. Let's sing while they're going.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. you can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.